thanks for tuning in to another edition of Practice Chats on the Deep Blue Podcast, where we get to know some of the BYU Cougars after practice. I'm Cleon Wall, and today's guest is BYU freshman defensive end Hunter Clegg. Hunter, thanks for joining us. You're sweaty. You probably don't want to spend that much time with me, do you?
No, of course, but yeah, I'm ready to get in the cold tubs over there on the sideline.
You brag on your BYU bio that you can solve a Rubik's Cube in 16 seconds. If I had one right here, right now, would you be able to do that?
I don't know about 16 seconds. I was 12 years old when I hit that record. I haven't picked it up a whole lot since, but probably be around 30 seconds.
What's your secret? I mean, how do you do it so fast? Because, I mean, I can't even solve one, and you're doing it in 16:30. Even if it was a minute, that would be pretty impressive.
Just F2L, OLL, PLL. There's just a bunch of algorithms you got to memorize, and then you just practice them a lot, and your fingers, they get used to it, and you just recognize the patterns and start flying. So that's how you do it.
Okay, that's still too smart for me. You've been through spring practices, is that right?
Yes.
And fall practices. Give folks an idea of the differences between the two. Because I think some people might say, spring, fall, what's the difference? Give us an idea for those of us who are unlearned. What is it like? What are the differences between spring practices and fall practices?
I mean, I'd say you're going to be physical in both, but I'd say the primary emphasis in spring ball is learning, and in fall camp it's execution and go time. So spring ball, they're not going to play the ones quite as much. They're going to let the new guys come in, learn the defense and stall a little slower. But fall camp, we're just getting out and going, playing as hard as we can. You're supposed to already know what's going on and just execute at full speed.
What did you learn in spring ball that is helping you right now in fall camp and will help you out in the upcoming season?
Yeah, I think it was crucial for me to come home or graduate early from high school so I could go on my mission and get back for spring ball. Because I was really just getting my feet back under me, learning the defense and kind of feeling out football again. And now when I'm in fall camp, I can really just focus on being as physical as I can and going full speed, not even having to think about it.
You serve your mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Armenia and Georgia. You know, most young men or young women or couples, they serve in like one, you know, state or one country, or sometimes, you know, their city's so big, they might only serve in one city their whole entire mission. You covered two countries. How did that all work out?
Yeah, so I actually was in Armenia most of the time. I just visited Georgia a couple of times because there is two different languages there and they're not really similar. So I was Armenian speaking. So I just stayed in Armenia, but I was all over the country. It was pretty fun.
How many people, while you were there, how many people understood that you played American football?
Just about zero. They sometimes were like, oh, is that like similar to rugby? And that's about as close as I got. So nobody really knew.
Did you ever teach them anything about American football at all? Because I would assume it's like a complete foreign concept to all of them what American football is, because they're used to maybe like rugby or probably soccer more than anything else.
Yeah, so I brought an American football, of course. So we'd go out and throw on P-Days, and there'd be kids out at the parks, and they'd be like, what is that? So we'd be throwing with them, and it was pretty fun.
Did you ever show tackling technique or anything like that? Because, I mean, that's your whole goal, is to tackle guys for loss or to sack quarterbacks.
I mean, we didn't do a whole lot of tackling. We'd play, like, three-on-three, just, like, tag with the district, and sometimes it got a little physical. There's some pushing and shoving, but never to the ground.
Okay. that's good to know. We don't want anyone to get injured. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints isn't really super established out there. What was it like teaching the gospel to the people in Armenia?
Yeah, it was crazy. So they have the Armenian Apostolic Church out there, which is about 99% of Armenian people are part of that faith. So it was very interesting seeing like the differences in the churches and having people, just their understanding, like they would light up when they heard about things like the plan of salvation or the Godhead that were a little different than what they've been taught originally. Also, there's a lot of Armenia is kind of over there in the Middle East, so sometimes we have immigrants from surrounding Muslim countries, and it was super cool to see just how they loved our understanding of God and a loving Heavenly Father, instead of kind of what they had been growing up with in some of their countries where it's a little rougher and a little more violent. It was really cool to teach both sides, both people that had been raised in a Christian background their whole life and people that had never even heard much about Jesus Christ.
What kept you going on your mission? What kind of provided you the oomph to say, yeah, I love this. I love to do this, and I love to teach the people about the gospel of Jesus Christ?
I don't know. I just love the process, and I really came to love the gospel. And I knew that was what I was supposed to do. That the Lord really had called me on a mission, specifically to Armenia and Georgia, and that there were people there prepared for me. So when I found someone, and had that spiritual confirmation that God really sent me here for that person, it just filled my heart with joy, and it made it so much easier to teach them and love them, because I knew that we were brought there not out of coincidence, and that I was doing what the Lord wanted me, exactly, without any doubt in my mind.
Was there any like specific experience that you love to tell people about your mission to Armenia?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple stories. This happened a bunch of times, but when you're just walking out on the street sometime in a random city, in a random place, you barely know the language. I mean, towards the end I did, but at the beginning I didn't. And you meet someone that ends up becoming a lifelong friend and has their life completely changed from the gospel. It's like, you just know that God's hand is in it, and that he's blessing both you and the person that you found through missionary service. So it was really just one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life, and really opened my eyes.
How did you change from that experience?
Too many ways to count, honestly. I'd say two big things. First of all, just my testimony got so much stronger, and I learned how to use the gospel in my daily life, and not just something as part of my community or part of my culture growing up, but how to actually use it. The second way was probably just working a process. And because as a missionary, you're day in, day out, working the whole entire day. You're following the rules, you're being obedient, you're working hard. And that really translates to football, honestly, like staying on a good schedule, getting everything done that you need to do, and just working as hard as you can. Like it's really helpful outside of missionary work as well.
You signed with Utah before your mission, and you decided to come to BYU after your mission. You've detailed the reasons why you've decided to do that in different interviews. I want to know what your results from your mission, or what the results from your decision have been. What good and maybe not so good results have come from deciding, hey, I've decided to come to BYU?
No, I think, fortunately, it's actually been way better than I thought. From a football perspective, it's exactly what I thought. It's a great opportunity here, great coaching. I've loved every second. I feel like I'm being developed well, and like the coaches trust me. And then there's actually been a lot of surprises. Like when I made my decision, it was purely football based. I wasn't really thinking about the school or the environment as much. I mean, the environment, yes, but it's been really cool having being at a school that supports my faith so much. Just some of the classes have been really cool. The professors, knowing that my coaches are on the same page as me morally, and there to support me in not just a football perspective, but also a spiritual and emotional perspective as well.
You haven't played football for a couple of years now. What's the one thing that you're like, I'm really looking forward to this, my freshman year here at BYU?
I just love playing the game. So it's been good playing in spring ball and now in fall camp, just having the pads on, having some nice hits. But I'm excited to be in front of the Cougar Stadium, that game day feeling. It's always the best, and I know it's going to be a lot bigger than it was in high school. So I'm just excited to get in the stadium and play in front of Cougar Nation.
You probably watched a lot of guys in the NFL. Who's the one guy that you look up to and you're like, I'd like to model my game after him?
Yeah, so I'm wearing number 90. You already know that my favorite's T.J. Watt. But I also like Nick Bosa a lot. Both of those guys, I feel like I like to try to model my game after that. They're similar height and weight to me, a little similar play style, so I like to model my game after them and learn from them.
If you had a dream scenario for your freshman season, what would that dream scenario be?
I think just getting on the field as much as possible, whether that's rotating or earning a starting position, and then just making plays, sacks, TFLs. Coach Pop, he told the OEs, which is my position, that he brought us all in here to affect the quarterback and to get some sacks. So we want to do that, obviously, also be stout in the run, but just be a playmaker and help my team as much as I can, lead vocally and with my playmaking as well.
So I think what I actually heard was what you want to do is just hit the quarterback every single time, whether it's legal or no. I'm just teasing with you.
Yeah, basically that.
Hunter, thanks for joining us here on Practice Chats.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks again to Hunter Clegg for joining me on Practice Chats. I'm Cleon Wall. Ben Hall produced this episode. You can download and subscribe to Deep Blue on all podcast platforms or find all episodes on the BYU Radio app. Deep Blue is a production of BYU Radio.